I wonder how many people have made New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Nobody. Ah. Yes, I'm not very good at making New Year's resolutions. I tend to break them too quickly. But the beginning of a new year is a good opportunity to reflect on the year gone by and the year to come, to consider the successes and failures of the past and the aspirations and challenges for the future. Some of us may be looking forward to 2014 with great excitement, perhaps because of a wedding, new work, or social opportunities, or an adventurous holiday. But others may be worried about what lies ahead because of concerns over health, finances, or family problems. The theme of our service today, as I said, is moving forward. Whatever our individual situations, let us think about the positive things that are in our lives and how we can build upon these to move forward. As Christians, we know that wherever life takes us, we are never alone, and that our loving Father God is always there to offer guidance and support. We have chosen the Bible passage from Joshua this morning because it is about new beginnings and new challenges. As we heard in the reading, these events take place just after the death of Moses. Moses had been an amazing leader for the Israelites, and they, and in particular Joshua, must have been feeling somewhat apprehensive as to what the future would now hold. It is at this point that God tells Joshua that he has the task of leading the Israelites into Canaan, the promised land. Not an easy job, as it was already occupied by other tribes, who might take great exception to this. As we consider Joshua's story, I would like us to look, first of all, at the way in which God promised to help Joshua. Because, of course, God is the same in 2014 as he was in Joshua's time. And so the same help and encouragement is available for us. Next, I would like to consider what God required from Joshua, because he had to cooperate with God in this new venture. There's a lot of truth in the saying, God helps those who help themselves. And then finally, to think about ourselves and what specifically God is asking of us in 2014. So first of all, God's help for Joshua. God told Joshua where to go and when to go. At the beginning of the book of Joshua, we read how God told Joshua exactly where he was to go and also told him when the time was right for him to go. Too often we are impatient and want to move on at our own pace, but it is important to wait for God's timing. We need to move at God's speed. Waiting can often be the most difficult part of moving on. It's strange, isn't it, that we can do the same journey over and over again, but sometimes it can take a lot longer, or we meet difficulties on the way. The bus is late, the traffic lights are all against us, they're digging up the road again. It's all a question of timing. We need to wait for God's timing, otherwise, even by getting our timing slightly wrong, we may miss out on the best that God has in store for us. God's promises were great, often far greater than we can ever imagine. God's promise to Joshua was that he would lead the people of Israel into a vast new land. And he tells Joshua just how big an area it will be. He also promised Joshua that nobody would defeat him. As I have said, the land which God promised to the Israelites was already occupied by people who had their own fortified cities. It was not a question of Joshua and the Israelites just walking in and taking over that area. It must have seemed like an impossible promise from Joshua's point of view. I think that it was William Carey, the great pioneer missionary to India, who said that we need to expect great things from God and attempt great things for him. If our requests or our expectations of what God can do are limited by our own small vision, then again we may be in danger of missing out on the best that God can give us in 2014. Now I'd like to tell you a story about Annie in Malawi. Reverend Malcolm Smith, a URC minister who was working in a Presbyterian church in Malawi, tells a story of a lady called Annie. She was an ordinary Malawian, not especially rich or influential, who had been brought up as a Muslim and had then converted to become a Christian. Often that is a very difficult thing to do because of family opposition. But she had done it all the same. And then, through her life and witness, several other members of her own family had become Christians. Not content with that, Annie decided that God wanted her to go back to her own hometown, a Muslim town in the south of the country, and tell others about her Christian faith. So she went back home, which is of course notoriously the most difficult place to share your faith, because everybody knows all about you, for better or worse. Even Jesus was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. But Annie managed, with the help of Scripture Union and Campus Crusade for Christ, to get a copy of the Jesus film to show. This is a film of the life of Christ as recorded in Luke's Gospel, which has been translated into many different languages. As the result of the film, and of a witness, about 1,000 Muslims in that town decided to become Christians. An amazing response. So this was all the result of what was done by one woman, more or less single-handed, who had a large vision of what she felt God wanted her to do. Next, we're going to think about God providing the strength for what he asks us to do. But was Annie really doing all this by herself? What Joshua found was that God was able to provide the strength that he needed to do the seemingly impossible task that was asked of him. And if we are going to forward in God's direction to do what he is asking of us, then we too can find that he is there with us. As God promised Joshua, he will never leave us or abandon us. He does not expect us to do everything or anything in our own strength. A while ago, the people of Bumbura village on the Karen River in Papua New Guinea became very concerned about the number of young people in their village who were getting into disruptive behavior. Their parents and elders were at a loss to know what to do with these youngsters, who were getting restless and feeling bored with life. They were too old to spank, and there was no pocket money or TV to ban. What could they do to change the lives of these young people? Well, they decided to pray. Every day of the week and every week of the month, they prayed until they saw a change. Not only did they pray, they also asked all the Christians in the surrounding villages to pray too. The names of these young people were circulated amongst the Christians, who simply asked God to give them a new vision and a new direction for their lives. An answer was evident when later that year, 18 young people, 9 men and 9 women, committed their lives to Christ. They were baptized in the river in what can only be described as a victorious celebration of praise to the Lord. All the people from the surrounding villages who'd also prayed went to Bumbara to celebrate the answers to their prayers. The problem of young people behave in disruptive way because they have lost their own way in life, which may seem pointless and boring, is just as common in Enfield as it is in Bumbara. Maybe we too can learn a valuable lesson from this story. If we really want to see lives changed, we need to pray. Next, we're going to consider what was expected of Joshua. And he had to be strong and courageous, and had to learn to trust God for all his needs, for his own safety and that of his people. Several times over, Joshua is instructed that he should be determined and confident, and told that he should not be afraid. I think it is particularly important that when we look to the future, we, like Joshua, can know that we do not need to be afraid. I have not counted myself, but I am reliably informed that in the Bible it says 366 times in all, "Do not be afraid." That is one for every day of the year, an extra one for leap years. I don't know about you, but I think that I need to be reminded each day that there is no need to be afraid, because God is there with us in each new day and each new year, and he has already got his plans for us. Not necessarily easy plans, but plans in which we can trust him to make sure that all things do work together for good. As we move into this new year, we have God's promise, "I will always be with you. I will never abandon you." So what did Joshua have to do? He had to study God's law, know it, and obey it. This was the one very important condition which God laid down for Joshua. He told him very clearly he must regularly read and study the book of the law. Obviously, at that time, the people did not have all that we have in the Bible to read and study. There was a lot about God and what he required of people that they did not know, but which we can read today. But they did have the law of Moses to guide them as to how to live. God told Joshua several times over that he would be prosperous and successful if he studied and thought about God's law every day and every night. Not just listening to one or two readings on a Sunday or to special meeting now and then. And here is a story about the state of Bible knowledge in this country. There is a story that as part of the testing of the national curriculum, the Department of Education sent schools a specimen paper to show what the new religious education exam would look like. The first question on the paper was, who found the book of the law in the temple? Now, the teacher was a bit shaky about his religious knowledge, so he thought that he would bluff and ask his class. So he said, John, can you tell me who found the book of the law in the temple? John panicked. It wasn't me, sir. I was away that last week. So the teacher went to the headmaster and asked him, who found the book of the law in the temple? The headmaster glowered. I've no idea, but if you find out who it was, I'll make sure his whole class is rewarded with an extra playtime. This still didn't help the teacher very much, so he wrote to the Secretary of State for Education. Who found the book of the law in the temple? Well, it took 6 months to get a reply, and when the letter came, it said, this book is clearly the property of HM government, and whoever found it should return it to the Department of Education. Joshua had to be willing to put God first in all things. Psalm 62, verse 8, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. So, which way forward for us in 2014? How can we do all this? Well, we cannot do it by ourselves, but God is willing to change us with our cooperation. Romans 12:1 invites us to be a living sacrifice, that is, to give ourselves completely and fully to God. God wants people who are dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. We know that we cannot possibly live up to God's standards in our own strength. But we can also see that God is not asking us to do that. Just as he promised to help Joshua, so God promises in Romans that he is willing to transform us, to change us, starting from the inside, to make us the kind of people that he wants us to be. Is this really what we want to be our way forward in 2014? God's help and strength is available here and now to all of us this morning. It is available if we are willing to let God take charge of our lives. A friend of Sylvia's, who taught in the highlands of Papua New Guinea, wrote this. I have learnt that I can do anything by willpower. My will and God's power. Do we have that kind of willpower as we move on into 2014?